Welcome to another episode of The Silly with the Wooligans. Mitch, Matthew Bird.
All right.
Bradley.
Hello.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
We had the last one was the
town hall,
which big kudos to Zach for saving us. There was a little audio input issue on the laptop, and luckily Zach had multitude of cameras around, so he was able to put together a usable piece. There was one minor issue in it, but I mean, again, saving what he did, he gets major kudos from me.
That's his right. Videos, his stuff he's been putting out, has been really good, you know.
Yeah, he's got something going here. I'm looking forward to see what he does with the Wooligan stuff over the next year.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, the last episode would have been the live women's one.
Yeah.
From Schlafly. So it's been a while, but guess what?
We're back in the basement.
And why are we back in the basement? Because Saturday is the first preseason game.
Yeah, we're running out of weekends, that's for sure. This Saturday we'll be in Springfield. Then the boys hit the road for a little bit, and then they're back in town, and there's something every weekend right up until the start of the season.
And the season starts at home, no less.
Yep.
For the first time in 5 years. So it's a good time. I would say, if I was to use a phrase, I would say it's back on.
It's go time. It's go time.
I like that it's go time.
It's been a fairly long off season. It's, you know, not as long as the season before, but
this is true.
But
It feels compressed. Like maybe it took a long time to get to Christmas, but now it's like we're out of time. There's things I still want to do, but we're having to find a day to do it. You know?
Yeah. No, that is true. That is one nice thing is the USL season starts earlier and earlier each time, which is great because it gets us back into things. But as you said,
and it lasts longer.
Yeah, the season lasts longer. Again, all good problems to have.
Oh yeah.
If we're gonna have problems of more soccer, please, problem away.
Yes.
However, we do have a lot of events to get in before then.
Yeah, and we've got we'll talk about those in a little bit, but we've got some news and notes to go over. So let's just hit the ground running. I think since the last time we had a podcast, there's been a new signing. Defender Bradley Camden Fewa. I don't know how to pronounce his last name.
Fewa.
There you go.
I guess. I'm just surmising. I don't know.
Versatile defender, played a little bit in Rochester, played in Fresno last year. You know, just another body out there for Ant to mix and match out there on defense.
He's French.
There you go.
He's going to room with Deque. You know that. He's going to have a little French thing going on.
And then we also signed the 5 Academy kids. So, again, a good sign for the system. We've got some kids coming in. Don't expect them to make huge contributions, but they will be called on during the course of the year to give a break or actually, you know, compete for a spot.
Just being around the pro system, being around it day to day, just, you know, training with men, getting used to being
for,
a man.
For their development, it's you know, unequaled. They can't ask for anything more. And, you know, having talked to Jeremy and having talked to Ant and some of the guys about players like Jack Marr and Aiden Stanley, who went to college this last year and hit the ground running, they attribute that practice every day against professionals who are, you know, playing for their livelihood, getting them ready for the next step. And both of those kids played major roles in their college season this year.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a kid in the academy, you see what those two kids went through last year, and you get that opportunity, you know, A, you've got to make the best of it, and B, you're getting a leg up on everybody else.
And just to hammer on that point, Patrick Schulte, the goalkeeper, who is the academy kid, has now been called into the U18 U.S. Men's National Team camp.
Yep.
So, again, good thing for these kids, good experience for these kids, and just shows well on
just
the whole program.
Conveyor belt of talent, really. Let's not kid out. It's a conveyor belt of talent, really.
Well, but it feeds into the concept, though. You come up in the academy, get this opportunity possibly on the USL team. Maybe you go on to MLS. You know, path is there.
That's ultimately, you know, the long term when we're talking about MLS. Those kids will have another level to strive for here before they move on. And they won't be, you know, quote unquote Kansas City's homegrown players, even though they've grown up here.
You know, since especially the World Cup fiasco, you know, a lot of people have been knocking the pay to play, you know, and I haven't really, but you know, there are a lot of academies in America that call themselves elite or premier or world class this, world, you know, but that one down there in Fenton, that's a conveyor belt of talent. You know, that really is right up there.
But I think a big part of that is the role of soccer in St. Louis, though. I mean, it is such a rich feeding ground to begin with.
Yeah, we're definitely not the only pond anymore.
No,
but we're still one of the major ponds in youth development.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a kid that is a good player, you know, you want them to go up through that system.
There's a path for him here.
Yep.
Now, we can still argue about the pay-to-play and identifying talent. You know, undoubtedly, there are kids that get missed, and there are undoubtedly kids that never find soccer or are unable to pursue that. But what the system we do have, I think SLSG is doing it well.
Absolutely. There's no question. And again, the history is there.
Yeah.
You know, you go back.
Now, the money sucks, and I understand that, and parents have a right to bitch when they're, you know, telling me, no, by the end of the year I spent, you know,
$8,000,
$13,000, whatever, going to all the tournaments and doing all the things. But, I mean, they do have scholarship programs. It's not everything, but it's something. But again, more and more of the MLS clubs are doing their academies differently. They're not charging, and they're offering school, and they're offering room and board and things like this. So, you know, ideally, if this continues to grow and if this, you know, system eventually gets phased out, we've got the structure, we've got the bones of a great academy.
Is there a potential, and I'm just hypothetically speaking, I'm not actually targeting one way or the other, is there a structure in place where you could see a FC St. Louis MLS team, a USL team, the academy team, but then still have Gallagher off to the side where it's pay to play outside the academy?
Yeah, I think so. I think
so. You still have that feeder of, you know, where, okay, if you're good enough, you can graduate to the academy.
Yeah, I think so. And I think you're already seeing a little bit of that with them renaming the 18 teams, the St. Louis FC Academy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at that point, it's not just about the Gallagher kids. If there's a kid in Lou Fuse who's excelling, or Rush, or any of the other, you know, clubs around town, it's incumbent upon St. Louis FC to identify that talent and bring them in, and not in a way where they're steamrolling other clubs, which we know Gallagher has flexed its muscle in the past and
just a bit,
and done things to poach kids from other things. But I think if done right, all of these funnels can lead into the academy and then up the ladder.
And Lindsay had spoken about that when we were talking about the girl side.
Yeah.
That same idea. And I think this is on the men's side, obviously, a bigger picture than what she was talking about. But it would be neat to be able to see that actually happen and coexist with these other clubs where, okay, you know, if Billy's not good enough to make, he can stay at Fuse. He can stay at Colping or wherever he's at and be fine. But if he does get good enough, he, you know, goes to the academy. And if his play falls off after a year or two, he can always return to Colping or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, and again, obviously we're not going to fix all of U.S. soccer's problems here tonight.
No, but Mitch, I think, Brad, it was one of you guys were talking about the system in Germany, and you have all these suburban clubs.
Yes,
yeah.
Love it.
And then all of a sudden, you know, and then you have your main city academy team that goes off and plays another city's academy team, and they pick and choose from all these suburban clubs. And that, what you've just mentioned sounds eerily similar.
It is. Yeah. It is. It is. The only difference being it's all government funded there instead of pay to play.
Right.
But that's kind of where I was coming from with that hypothetical, and I'm glad you brought it up because that I had forgotten about it. But that is exactly what I'm hoping for. Just giving some distance between pay to play and the academy system, but still, there's enough seats at the table for everybody to have that pay-to-play, to have the academy, so those kind of players that can't afford the 14 or 13 or 8 or whatever thousand still could be at a lesser club and still have a path.
There has to, at the end of the day, for me, there has to be a some sort of solidarity payment at the end of the day. So if Missouri, if Missouri Rush have a guy that St. Louis FC Academy says we want him,
because they're paying coaches and they're
there has to be an inducement for them to say, you know what, you go take him to the next level, because if he gets transferred over here, there, and everywhere, we'll get a slice of that. There's an inducement. Yeah. That's the thing that's missing.
I agree.
And I think, again, it's the structure of the game in the United States, and it's easy to point out where it's falling apart and where it's not achieving what it should be, because we all see these things. But it is getting better, and obviously part of the problem in the United States is it's just so big. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in a country like Germany, which I don't know, I haven't done the maps, but it's a state,
a quarter the size.
The size of a state, yes, or whatever, you're a little bit more in touch with everything. There are places in Montana where a kid's never going to touch a soccer ball right now. And, you know, maybe his high school plays baseball or his high school plays football, and maybe he'll never know that he could be a great soccer player. America has to get better at that kind of thing, but that's just going to take time.
But I think if they do this hybrid system that we're kind of talking about right now, especially if you introduce the solidarity payments, I think then suddenly, you know, maybe the guy that's always thought about making a club in Billings, Montana, says, but okay, now it's time to start putting something to it, because I can get something back for developing these guys.
And going to that point, we have to make the investment in coaches so there are enough quality coaches to work with the kid when they're young, so that by the time they're 15, they're ready to take that next step.
And again, major kudos to Estill FC Gallagher for the grassroots thing, because it is hard to get a coaching license in the United States. It is very hard. I mean, I only have my, F or something like that. I don't remember what I have. Nobody cares. But the thing,
the online one, or did you have to go to
the seminar?
Did you have to go
to
a
4-hour seminar thing?
I think
they've changed it since I took it. So,
but that's the thing. These people, like you, it's not your full time job.
I have to carve out
time from your family life to go do this.
And the thing was,
if it's available,
looking at the next step, when I, because this is when Jack was younger and we were involved in another academy, and those things were going on. To take that next one, the closest one in the next year was a weekend in Columbia. I'm not doing that. I can't take a weekend away. You know, I'm gone enough for work and stuff like that. That's just not an option.
And you're not getting paid to coach.
And not only that, but you're going and spending money.
Right.
You know, the license cost, you know, that was a fee. And the hotel and driving and food. And, you know, you start to add all those things up, and it becomes so cost prohibitive to get these coaches the right tools, the right training they need to make better players. And that's something.
So these things,
they have to change that.
They are getting better, but it's going to take a while.
Yeah. I mean, they have to change that system. It's severely flawed. It's much like the refereeing system. You know, again, picking on my son, he was going to referee. He started taking the course, and he's like, Dad, this sucks. He's like, this, you know, he goes, it's hard, which is fine, but to go through all this stuff and then to get yelled at by somebody.
And they make like $5 to $15 a game or whatever.
It was like $20, $25 bucks a game, which is again, for a 14-year-old,
right,
on a Saturday.
But it's not worth getting yelled at.
You know, I'll give credit to Gallagher, and a lot of other clubs are picking up. They have contracts with the parents now. Yeah. If you're a problem, you're out, you lose your money, and your kid's out of the system. You know, but CYC, that's a problem. You know, it's a known problem. Nobody wants to referee. So they've got to change this kind of stuff.
Once again, we are not going to solve all the world's problems, but by God, we can point them out.
We're good at that.
So last week, practice officially started.
It was cold.
It was real frigging cold. But they got out there and they warmed up a bit. The whole squad is in now. Jeremy said there may be a loan or two during the season if we take some knocks, but this is what they're going with. So, again, a small squad makes me nervous, because last year every year there's injuries. It just is what it is. We did weather the storm last year. We did have a couple of key loans come in and a couple of late signings, but Ant likes that small squad, and, you know, he's the boss, so that's what you get.
How are you feeling about it?
I'm feeling good about our team. Just the fact that we brought back so many guys.
Mm-hmm.
We're not starting over from scratch.
I think that's lulled me into a false sense of security in the fact that the last, I don't know, 4 years, it's been signing after signing after signing after signing. It's been a relatively low-key offseason. Because I have to keep reminding myself, they're bringing back 12 guys. Yeah. You know, and
we're used to major overhauls every year.
So
I think what worries me more than looking at our team is
what other teams are doing.
The shift back to the East, and Cincinnati or Indy and Nashville are spending big money.
Mm-hmm.
Tampa's, you know,
Going to be Tampa,
which could be good or bad. Memphis, I think, has spent a decent amount of money for a first-year team. Birmingham, I mean, Jimmy Nielsen up in Hartford. I mean, I think the East is going to be tough. I mean, the East is always tough.
I do think we have spent a good amount of money, but like you said, it's bringing guys back.
Yeah.
So we don't necessarily think of it that way. There is a little bit of mind trickery there.
No, I do agree, but I'm not, like I said, I'm not worried about what we're doing. I think we've got the pieces in place, but I look over and say, ooh, they're kind of gunning, you know.
Well,
so,
you know, one of the things, too, that we were kind of discussing earlier was that, like, last year, we were so psyched for Corey Hertzog.
Yeah.
Like, proven goal scorer, guy is the bomb. He's going to be a major player.
Yes.
It didn't work out that way.
Yes.
You know, Matt and I were talking earlier. It's a young man's league now. And not that Corey's old.
You don't know. I mean, well, and we can even talk about Lancaster. We've seen a lot of guys do really well at Louisville and then not do well somewhere else. It's not a given that he's going to score goals for Nashville.
True. You don't know, you're
right. And that is the system, too. I mean, the Louisville system worked well. Sean has gone into depth on that. But then you look at somebody
Sean left Louisville and did well. I just want to put that on record.
Very good point. And like Cicerone, you know, that's a guy I'm kind of excited about the more I think about it. You know, he's in Cincinnati where they have like 212 forwards.
Yeah.
You know, and they're signing guys preparing for this MLS move, basically.
They were almost like Chelsea. They signed two full teams, and they're just going to bench half of them just so nobody else can have them.
Exactly. Yeah. You think a guy like that isn't going to be jacked about having an opportunity to show that he belongs?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a hungry dude to, you know, hey, I can do this. You know, piss off those guys. I'm going to get out there.
And you look at a guy like Rivas, who I think, to me, is sort of our flashiest new signing of the year. You know, what is he going to thrive playing in front? No offense to Tulsa's fans. They're good fans.
Oh, no, you can offend them. They don't listen. But all four of them.
But it's not a big crowd, and neither are we by comparison to some of the others. But the corner is always full. The corner is always loud. You know, he may come out and do even more than what he did in Tulsa.
And no disrespect to Tulsa, again, but we're better than Tulsa. You know, you surround him with players that are 20% better.
Yeah.
Is that going to make him 20% better again? Yeah. You know,
and we brought in G too, who was probably the second best player on that team. I mean,
well, Mirko.
Well,
you know,
I just assume we're not getting Mirko back.
No, he's on a Fresno.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's on a Fresno.
I saw that on Instagram, I think.
Well, good for him. Yeah, I mean, it's closer to where his
peeps are.
His family, and that'll be good for him.
No, it is. It's awesome.
And I love Mirko. So
yeah, and like Gaia Bend, he was kind of forgotten about.
You know what? He's another guy that's left Louisville and done well.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, he went to Reno and they got all the way to the Western Conference semifinals. Mm-hmm. Was he with OKC?
No, he was with the.
I know he was with Reno.
Reno. Oh, I don't know. He may have been in between. I don't know.
I can't remember. I'd have to look at. But he's been there or thereabouts ever since leaving Louisville.
No, I think, and that's the thing. It's we talk about the signings, and it's like, oh, there's no huge signings, but you look at them all; they're all quality players. I like who Ant's brought in, and again,
Louisville straight to Reno.
Okay,
we give Ant trouble about his, you know, character guys and things like that, but it is true. That's what he looks for, and that's what he builds.
Well,
and
I think we got some guys that aren't flashy. That yeah. And you kind of look at that and you go,
look
well,
at Lewis Hilton. He's the definition of not flashy.
Well, I was gonna use Martz as an example and say, I don't know anything about why are we getting players from Orlando City B?
Right.
They weren't very good. We took 4 points off them two years ago. And then you watch Martz play and you go, I see why you got him now. I see, you know, as he zaps past you at 100 miles an hour.
But Hilton, I did not expect Hilton to be a...
anchor.
A difference maker on this team. I thought, oh, he'll fill in. You know, yeah, it's always good to have warm bodies. He ends up being the Luligan player of the year. I mean, without Lewis, so many things wouldn't have worked last year. So I can't really say, oh, well, that guy doesn't mean anything. I was wrong about a whole lot of guys. So mm-hmm.
No, I take your point. But I just...
And I do think Ant, it's a system. It's like O'Connor was a system.
But, and as we're having this conversation, we're bringing up guys like Martz. Martz was out most of the year. We're getting a healthy Martz back.
That's a new
signing right there, too. You know, there's, you know, and Sean and Sam have played together for a while, and we have both goaltenders. Yeah, and we have both goaltenders, which, I mean, we've never carried across two goaltenders. Most we carried was one.
And Kyle Gregg, I mean.
Yeah, I mean.
We don't need a 20-goal scorer because we got one. I mean, he didn't score 20. But
the potential is there.
He's a big goal scorer. We need people to contribute with him. It's not like, I mean, years past, we're starting over from scratch. We need goals from somebody. Mm-hmm. Well, we've already got a proven scorer.
And so, even when we had Irvin, it was Irvin. Yeah. There was nobody else.
Right.
No, I
and
agree.
You can see where they've you can look at the roster and see where they've built around Kyle and giving people opportunities to contribute.
One thing that came up in the last couple of weeks, and it I tweeted it and I was like, oh my God, but it really didn't get as much press as I thought it would. Evidently, I can't think of his name now, of course. Akron guy, coach, that went to Portland and now is at...
Kalapur.
No, yeah. He's in Columbus now.
Yeah.
Ant was on his short list to be his assistant.
Yeah.
And...
Praise Jeebus.
No kidding.
This was like a couple weeks before our season started. I mean, or before the training camp opened. I mean, imagine if we would have had to find a new coach.
How sweaty do you think Jeremy's hands were? I think he was just having cold
sweats.
Can
you imagine Jeremy texting at Pulis, did you close on your house here yet?
I want all I will say right now is that we owe Jeremy's wife, Tammy, a couple drinks for what she probably had to go through, because I can't imagine that stress of knowing that you're that close to losing the guy that you've built the system around.
Yeah, I mean, I texted Jeremy when I think it was
Goff
that tweeted it out.
The fact remains, though, guys. If Ampoulos is as good as we think he's going to be, he's going to go at some point.
Well, absolutely.
This is sort of a testament to our front office that, you know, Jeremy said, we let him make his decision. I mean, obviously they tried to point out the things that you get by staying here, you know, his own club and a chance to build it. But again.
Well, and potentially take it to the next level, maybe.
Maybe. But you're right. He is going to be in demand. And the people that say, oh, well, he can be the MLS coach if it happens, that's still, you know, 2, 3, 4 years away, maybe.
But that's the thing, is that if he builds a winner here over the next 2 to 3 years,
somebody's going to come asking for him before that.
Yeah, probably. But if he has a path, maybe he does.
No, I know.
I mean, I see
what I'm saying is there's nothing guaranteed.
Right. We can get O'Connor. He'll be sacked by Orlando in 6 months.
But, I mean... we could be talking about a very different season going in now if we'd have had to scramble to find a new coach. And
God, can you imagine how panic
kinda,
we'd be?
That kind of just kind of blew over, you know, and I was like, does nobody realize we almost lost our goddamn coach?
But you know what?
I think I didn't want to think about it.
He's going to be in a lot of conversations.
Oh, yes, he is.
You know, he's going to be in a lot of conversations.
Well, and to that point, I wouldn't have blamed him if he did take that job because... I mean, his ultimate goal is to be a coach at the highest level, whatever that level is.
He busted his ass to get the license.
And and an assistant at an MLS job could be seen as an upgrade. I mean, probably pays better as an assistant in MLS than head coach of a USL team. But I, for one, am thrilled that Anthony decided to stay and that, you know, like
it
I could
have been carnage. You're absolutely right. Yeah. If it had, we'd have gone in a meltdown. We'd have gone in an absolute meltdown.
But he's got another year with us to, at least to, build what he started. And, I'm excited for the season. I am.
I do rate a lot. He talks eloquently about a game he delivered last year. I mean,
yeah.
And not only that, I like the fact that we had a little slump in the middle and he pulled us out of it. And that's the first time we've ever had the slump and been pulled out of it.
What I really like about him, and it's that sort of quiet confidence. He's not flashy. Mm-hmm. He's not,
yeah.
But you can sit and talk to him about football. I mean, if we just ran into him at the hotel bar somewhere, you could have a conversation about football with him all night long, talking about whatever aspect mm-hmm. of it you want. But he just goes about his work. He gets it done. He's got a way he wants people to play. He's got a system he wants you to fit into. And it's simple but effective. And to me, that's very reassuring. That's very, I'm confident with Ant there.
He's a natural leader.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really a big part of it, is that he grew up in the game. He grew up around leadership in England. You know, obviously dad is a big part of that, but
he's been in big rooms.
Yeah, exactly.
He's seen
with big personalities, right, and big leaders and big assholes. You know,
you get the feeling he's just not fazed by it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and if he is, he internalizes it, yeah, and processes it and moves on, which,
and he does the work. I mean, you know, he's, you know, we know about it. Well, maybe not Matt, because he didn't grow up over here, but the, you know, the NFL coach that sleeps in his office, you know,
yep.
That's the kind of guy Ant is. I mean, he's watching film. He's watching.
He's, you know, married to the game.
Yeah. So I am just thrilled that we did not have to replace him.
Like I said, I just, when it came out
before the season started,
I was like, oh, that was close.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on, because I don't want to think about
it. And I don't have any inside information. I don't know if he was, you know, flipping a coin, or maybe he never really seriously considered it. I don't know, but I mean, in one way, it is nice that somebody recognizes the talent that he is, mm-hmm, and thought about bringing him. So, anyway,
Columbus could have done a lot worse.
Oh yes,
oh yeah,
yeah.
And I do wish Porter well in Columbus. I mean, after what that fan base has gone through.
Good for them to get somebody like Porter.
Yeah, and I think he can. I mean, obviously, there's the Ohio ties. He's that kind of coach that I think that fan base can fall in love with. So, want to mention that the Open Cup, the format has officially been announced. We will be going in the second round, and that will be May 14th or 15th, depending on who we're playing and who hosts and all that stuff.
We'll be playing Maritza.
Well,
knock on wood. We
very well could be playing
Maritza. They are away at North Texas Rayados in Dallas on April the 6th, I believe. That's when their game is, that week.
So after that round, then everybody's thrown into a pot. Correct. They're drawn, and I think it's just a random draw of who hosts the game, too.
Yeah, I guess.
So
yeah, I think I remember Jeremy saying something about that you have to put in your availability.
It used to be a bid system, but I think they did away with that to keep MLS teams from just steamrolling the bids.
But I think you know, you basically have to say, if we make this round, we can host a game on X date. So there will probably be some teams that just can't for logistics reasons.
We deserve a home game, man. We haven't had a lower league. We haven't had a second round home game in 2-3 years now.
Yeah,
We were away at the Tin Can. We were away in Wichita. We were away in Duluth.
Would be fun to have Maritza have the local derby.
Oh, I'd love it. I would absolutely love it. Because you know what? They're not a bad team.
No, I mean,
no.
From everything I hear and everything I read about them, they're doing it the right way. So good for them. And I know I have a couple of players that listen. So maybe if they get past that round, we'll have to do a special U.S. Open Cup edition with a couple Maritza players and a couple of St. Louis FC players.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. What's next? Let's go ahead and talk about what's going on with MLS for the Lou, just to catch everybody up. If you listen to the Town Hall podcast, you heard Jim answer some basic questions about what's going on and how important it is for fans to support St. Louis FC if they want to show support for the effort. But they just got back from New York. They had a meeting with Don Garber last week. Basically, the message is everything's fine. Everything's going along well. Obviously, Sacramento got their new big money guy, so they're back in the competition. But I think Jim and Carolyn both believe that we're set up well. The next round of talks is about getting local sponsorship. And when Ben Fred put out the article, I think a lot of people read that and got nervous, like, oh, there's nobody stepping up in St. Louis. That's not the case. There are companies stepping up. A lot of people want to be involved, but now's the time where you kind of start to put that a little bit more into perspective. I mean,
there's a process and a procedure about right. this. This isn't a panic thing. This is the next step.
And also, I was telling somebody the other day, just because someone has offered to be the shirt sponsor doesn't mean you announce that now. I mean, it's still a couple years away. And values change and companies change and there might be a new big player that comes in, but you're starting to have the talks with these companies. You're starting to put feelers out there of who's interested.
Well, and it's not just the shirts, it's the stadium itself.
It's all the sponsorships.
It's the boards. Yeah. You know, there's so much that goes into it.
St. Louis don't make that decision. It's an MLS decision.
No. That's St. Louis.
But here's the thing.
MLS approves it.
MLS approves it. If you've got, let's say, for instance, you've got Mercy, who offer $1 million a year.
Yeah.
But then you've got, let's say, Lexus, who offer $800,000 a year. MLS are going to go with Lexus. It's a national brand over Mercy, which is a local brand.
I wouldn't say
no,
that.
But I'm just using an example of...
But what I'm... I don't think MLS makes that call, but I think our ownership might make that call. I mean, it's about finding the right fit just as much as finding a fit.
Because you want somebody in Toronto or in Luxembourg to see Lexus on the front of a jersey and want to buy it. I think that's more of a perception than it is a money thing. I think the other thing is, too, is that you're also looking at a lot of the conflicts with MLS that... If Budweiser is the league sponsor,
there are some that you won't be able to use. Yeah.
You know, Schlafly won't be able to be on the front of the jersey because it's a Budweiser or whatever.
Well, I don't even know if does anybody have an alcohol on the jerseys?
I don't think they can. Because
they want to sell it to kids. I mean, so as much as I would like a Schlafly jersey.
Happy with Herbalife pyramid schemes.
Yes, they are. But again, I think you have to look at when that deal was signed, and it's a different league now than when that deal was signed even. So things that used to be okay, MLS is always looking to upgrade and to elevate their status. So
image.
They're not going to sign anything now for a deal that's coming 2 years from now or 3 years from now.
But
they do
want to
say,
up.
Okay, who would be interested in buying a suite at our new stadium?
True.
And who would be interested in being, you know, the rental car of St. Louis FC. I mean, I have a feeling that one's covered.
Yeah.
But
then they've also said too, pretty openly, is that Enterprise will not be the sponsor of the stadium because
it conflicts with the Enterprise Center
right down the street.
Down the street, right.
You know, and we know Worldwide isn't going to do it because
a perfect one would be Southwest Airlines because it's a major national brand. St. Louis is a major focus city of theirs, something like that.
Well, we're going to get to that.
But then you've also got Alaska Airlines, which sponsor Portland, and they could say, "Well, no, we don't want another compete." You know, it's all those variables. Well,
let's wait till the fun. Let's just talk to fun part of the night.
Let's
we'll
just talk to
that.
The lesser England clubs, and we can have betting sites.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
But anyway, just so you know, I just wanted to, you know, I did reach out to Fred and just said, "Hey, you know, everything's cool, right?" And he's like, "Yeah, The Ben Fred article made it seem a little like, oh my God, we got to find sponsors now.
Oh, it's clickbait.
It was more, no, Don said, work on your sponsors. This is what we're looking for. And then now they're also kind of getting the stadium renderings done. And they're starting to really know what they're looking at.
This is a business project.
Yeah.
And anybody that's worked on any sort of business project in their corporate lives, you have to start with certain incremental stages
right.
before you go to the next one. You can't get to stage four until you've done 1, 2, 3. And that's a big part of this. You know, you have to just kind of take these next steps, keep communicating them, but don't take them the wrong way. As long as there's communication going on, which we saw.
But people out there think that there's a decision to be made a week away.
No, it's
months and months away. It's
well, and I mean, and quite frankly, the best thing that could happen for MLS was Sacramento finding that big money owner. Not because they want Sacramento, because I still think MLS would rather not be in Sacramento.
If they wanted Sacramento would be going into year three.
Yeah, exactly.
They'd already be going into year three.
Right. But it's very good for MLS to have three teams vying for one spot versus one team vying for one spot. And they can draw this out as long as they want to, really.
Yeah, they're in no rush.
They said they will announce in 2019. And I think we, St. Louis, heard that and thought, oh, it'll be quick. And I think Jim actually thought it would be quicker than it has turned out to be. But the wheel moves when the wheel move wants to move.
Who plays first, those are Miami?
That's a good question. I mean, it's just a non-ending disaster. But again, I think it proves the larger point. MLS does what MLS wants.
Yeah.
MLS wants Miami. So they're going to give Miami every break. They're going to give them every benefit of the doubt. I mean, if we had signed up when Miami signed up and they gave us the thing, and how long has it been now? 5 years?
It's got to be longer than that. Because Cohen and Nick Gieber were talking about it on Will Soccer Daily.
So if we hadn't built a stadium in 5 years, they would have moved
and
on.
They're, and they're talking
and
about,
talk about New York. I mean, you know, when New York City FC came in, oh, they're just going to play at Yankee Stadium for a year or so till they get there. There's still no progress made.
But anyone with half a brain cell knew they were not finding a stadium site in Manhattan.
Beckham is 5 years, by the way.
Okay.
2013.
Yeah, but not only are they not getting a stadium in Manhattan, they've looked at the Bronx, they've looked at Queens. I don't know that they're going to get a stadium in New York. So make fun of Red Bull all you wanted. At least they got their stadium. I don't mean you personally, but people talk about, oh, it's New Jersey Red Bulls. Fine, they've got a brand new stadium.
Yeah, try to go somewhere in downtown. Go somewhere in Manhattan. Well, see where you could put a stadium.
Well, and I mean, both the NFL teams play in New Jersey, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, you can't. I mean, any major construction that size, there's no room.
But MLS wanted to be in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
So
they're in New York City.
New York City got a team without a stadium.
Yep.
They want to be in Miami, and they will hold that spot open for David Beckham until, you know, climate change floods Miami.
I believe you mean Inter Miami FC.
There you go.
Or CF. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So
they're going to look they're looking at playing in lockout. Again, aren't they,
but
where the strikers played?
That's going to be their training facility.
Oh, right.
But now there's another group vying for that. So there's even an argument over them getting that training facility. It's a disaster. But if you think, like I do think, MLS wants to be in St. Louis, MLS will come to St. Louis. Hopefully it's Team 28 because, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
I think MLS know that if it's not St. Louis this time, it'll never be.
I tend to agree.
You know,
I think you've gone to the well too many times.
And I think they know Sacramento will wait, you know,
because
they have no choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Chinese money in Phoenix will still be good in 5 years.
Probably better.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if not, then they'll just buy the league.
Or the state of Arizona.
Right. So I think everything looks good for St. Louis still. I mean, anything can happen, and sometimes it does, but I am not panicking.
The fact of the matter is that should not sway your decision about coming out on March the 9th.
No. I mean, first of all, if you really do want MLS for the Lou, then you really should come out and support St. Louis FC just because you're a soccer fan.
And you should support St. Louis FC anyway because they're awesome.
And then it also is because that will be part of the team. I mean, Jim said it pretty clearly on Danny Mac the first time he's sort of stated it this way. This is the platform that will evolve into the MLS team.
And he flat out said MLS looks at that.
Yeah, MLS is looking at the season tickets and the game day atmosphere of St. Louis FC.
I think then at that point, they need to do a bigger splash of that. I mean,
I think they do.
You saw how Cincinnati drove that train all the way to Garber's office.
I think they do, and I think...
And Phoenix are doing the same.
I think part of the difference is St. Louis FC is a non-profit, so it can't be owned by... It's going to have to be different a little bit. And then also, I don't think the Taylors aren't involved in St. Louis FC. I think if the Taylors were more involved in it, I think it would be more of a united front. But
hey, CKB's a season ticket holder.
He still can't stop me from saying it. This is the platform are going to take. Drive that.
No,
train
I agree.
Home.
I agree with you. I think it should be more clearly
projected.
Stated. Yeah.
Yes. But at the same time, people have known this is here. This isn't a new statement. We've been saying this for 4 years.
Well, and that was my thing today as I was, not doing my job and thinking about my job that I don't get paid to do. To me, if you're a soccer fan in St. Louis and you haven't been out to St. Louis FC in the, 4 years that we've been here so far, if you haven't come out to one game, that's on you. I mean, there's really no excuse. Now, I get we're all busy, and I get maybe you can't do season tickets, or maybe, you've got young kids, so you can't come to every game, but you should at least come.
I'll preface that by saying, if someone turns around and says, I've not been to a St. Louis FC game, I go watch Ricky Garza's team. That's what I call it. Then I can get behind that. At least you go into something,
But there's people that we know that are at the Amsterdam every Saturday, every Sunday, and they're huge soccer fans.
Yeah.
But they look down their nose because St. Louis FC isn't MLS.
Major league.
Yeah. And to me, those people are, you're missing it. First of all, you're doing yourself a disservice because it's a great time out there. But then are you really a committed fan? Are you really willing to do what it takes to bring soccer? Will you show up if MLS is here? Or will you not find a reason not to go then too?
I think what it is people want it served to them.
Yeah. Yeah,
there was a guy on Twitter today.
But we send shuttles to the Amsterdam to pick your ass up and bring you to a game.
Well, it doesn't get me early enough there to tailgate.
There's always
an excuse.
My father-in-law's like that. He's one of the best fans in baseball. We're the most knowledgeable. We're this. We're that. We're the other. He doesn't go to games.
Yeah,
he sits on his recliner and watches.
I think and that's the thing. I go to probably one or two Cardinals games a year. I maybe go to one Blues game every other year. But I wouldn't call myself
a diehard,
a Blues fan. Like, I don't bleed blue. Yeah, if there's a game on, I'll watch it. Or if my friends are going to a game and they've got an extra ticket, I'll tag along. But there are people who beat their chests about being the biggest Manchester United fan or the biggest Liverpool fan or the biggest Arsenal fan. I'll put my own people down. But then they won't show up to support their local team. And again, I'm not talking about season tickets, and I'm not talking about going to every game, but come a couple times a year.
I do wonder how many of those people, and I'm generalizing when I say this, are not actually soccer fans. They're Chelsea fans. They're Liverpool fans.
Sure,
I mean?
There's some of that, sure.
Because I think we've seen that before.
And it does. It's not even just the English teams. There's
right.
American Outlaws who go to every United States game. Hell, they travel to Columbus or they travel to Kansas City, but they
didn't go to Phoenix.
Nobody went to Phoenix. but they are not coming out to St. Louis FC. So are they soccer fans or are they United States men's national team fans?
Right.
Which is fine, I guess. But
I can get behind that. If you do go to Columbus, if you do go to Kansas City, you still
Yeah.
you are what you say on the tin,
But if you're one of the people saying you want MLS in St. Louis, like we deserve, then show you deserve it by supporting your local team. That's all.
And it's cheap and it's a good time.
Yes.
There was
that was Kavanaugh's point at the town hall. look, this is what you got to do if you really want to show MLS, you want the team. And by the way, I'm not asking you to do hard work. I'm asking you to go to have fun and watch a soccer game. Mm-hmm. I mean,
he's not asking you to knock on doors.
We're not fucking heroes because we go to St. Louis FC. We have fun because we go to St. Louis FC.
Well, I would say we're heroes.
Last year was fun.
Yeah, the year before we might have been heroes.
Not as much fun, but I want everybody to experience that. I want everybody to come out and at least try it. I mean, we've said this before. If you come out and it's not for you, okay, at least you tried it.
I do worry that there's
Some guy was complaining that it was too expensive on Twitter.
I've tried to say this three times now. And no, but he was saying, I can't find tickets for under $30. Then you're not looking.
That's ridiculous.
Because they're 15. It's not hard. I mean, this isn't,
And then I tweeted, hey, we've always got extras game day.
Jonesy goes, two tickets on me.
Yeah.
And he goes, I guess I'm going to get guilted into buying season
tickets. No, but then he said,
this is the fucking goalie coach giving you free tickets,
but
dude.
Then he said he'd come out. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Please do. Because yes. I think you'll have a good time.
I almost guarantee it.
I do think, though, that you do have to embed yourself into this.
Yeah.
You know, you can watch Arsenal at the Amsterdam.
I'll disagree.
All right, disagree with me in a minute. No, because it's a worthy conversation. You can watch Arsenal. If you're an Arsenal fan, you can watch Arsenal week in, week out, every single game. You know, if you're a Newcastle fan, you can buy the gold package for $50 and you can watch Newcastle week in, week out. They're your team. You know those guys. If you just come
out, you can find plenty of information on the internet about those guys.
You know, they're your guys.
Yeah.
If you just come to one St. Louis FC game,
yeah.
You'd want St. Louis FC to win because...
And there's not enough coverage in the newspapers to get to know...
You know Laurent Koscielny more than you know Lewis Hilton.
You're right.
You know, they're still... You have to embed yourself into this.
Yeah.
See, but that's where I'm going to disagree.
Go on, man.
You can't... That is true in a lot of aspects. Mm-hmm. However, there is also the aspect... I'll use my friends Greg and Tracy. They got two kids, incredibly full schedules. I mean, those kids are... doing something every night, every weekend day. They don't have a lot of free time. They come to maybe 2-3 games a season, have a blast, love it. They buy a ton of shit when they're there. They have a good time. They spend money. They love it. Greg keeps up with it. He'll text me, hey, you know, saw the win. You know, you can be a...
I think losing the Channel 11 deal that hurts.
See, I'm going to go... Greg and Tracy are looking in the respect that... they've got you to go. That's Lewis Hilton.
Yeah.
We got him. He's from England, and we got him from Charlotte. And he's look out for him. He's a really good holding mid. And then that's Kyle Gregg, and he's the man to watch. He's going to score.
No, but see, it doesn't even most
if
of the
if you
time,
don't have someone telling you who they are and what's going on, if you just turn up off spec and you don't know these guys from Adam.
No, I think.
But the other thing
here,
is,
I'm going to take the controversial position. You're both right.
90% of people have a goddamn phone in their hands anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, fuck, who's 22? Oh, that guy's awesome.
Well, but the same could be said about the Blues. You know, I know nothing about the Blues.
You're probably better off.
Because I don't pay attention. I mean, I see the tweets and I see the whatever. But that doesn't mean when I go to a Blues game, I don't have fun.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm sitting next to Mitch will be the one telling me, oh, that guy, he just got back from injury and whatever.
Fucking Steen.
But if I'm not sitting next to Mitch, I'm still watching the game and having fun.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a bit of both. And there is something, and we've said it all the time, for everyone at Soccer Park. You can come out just because you like to party.
Mm-hmm.
You can hang out in the corner and you can yell and you can...
I think there's people in our group that are in it just to party.
I know there's people in our group that don't know shit about soccer.
That's me and you.
There you go. But they have a good time when they're out there. Or... You know, there's people that only come to the home games and I bet they never watch an away game, you know, or vice versa. There's people that watch online and may only come to one home game a year because they live too far out or whatever.
Dude, I love the away games. Yeah. I'm rocking for the away games this year.
Oh, my God. I can't wait.
I can't wait to go to Windy.
Yeah.
Can't wait to go to Memphis. Let's go.
Memphis, Nashville, Indy.
Can't go to Nashville going on vacation.
It sucks.
But it doesn't matter because like last year there was two we could go to. If you couldn't go to them, you were screwed.
Yep. Yeah. Now we got
five. Pick and choose. Yeah. You know, now you go, well, I can't make that one, but I can make this one.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, we just named the five closest ones. You get to Birmingham, that's 8 hours away, and last year Oklahoma City was seven.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you're looking at your second
closest.
And Matt
always takes a long one. I mean, right. You and Sarah drove to friggin' Pittsburgh. I mean,
Harrisburg.
I mean, you know, we took a little family trip to Colorado Springs one year with all of our wives. And I mean, I don't know. I love this league. I will genuinely, if we get MLS, I will genuinely miss USL because I think it does a lot of things right.
I can't argue with that. I've always said you can want, if you want MLS, that's fine. That's over here. But this still here, this here and now is still worthy of your support. It's a tough competitive league with guys who are accessible. You can watch them.
Very fan-friendly league.
But they're still going balls to the wall. Yeah. It ain't a rec league.
And again, I mean, if you're a regular listener, this will be no surprise to you, but a lot of these guys are bubble guys. They could, but for, you know, a 1 second 40 or they're a year too old or a year too young, they could be on MLS rosters. I mean, yeah, a lot of them. So
absolutely.
I don't know. I mean, it's a broken record, but seriously, if you've got that friend, I mean, if you're listening to this show, obviously you care a little bit more than your average fan and you're more than likely coming out to games when you can.
And you've also got too much time on your hands.
That's true too. But if you've got a friend who, you know, likes soccer, and just make them come to a game, you know, force them to, because I think, again, I don't see you coming to a St. Louis FC game and not having fun.
And I've said it before. My brother-in-law is a great example. Big sports fan, loves every sport, came to a Steel FC game, had the time of his life. Talks about, okay, we got to figure out, he travels a lot for work too. Okay, we got to figure out when we can do this again. When can we do this again? When can we do this again? I mean, it's infective.
Yep.
But it's also infective in the fact that you can go, after the game, you can go speak to Sean Reynolds. You can go speak to the coach. You can go speak. You can't speak to Tarasenko. You can't speak to Yadi.
Yeah.
You know, they're so insular. And I'm afraid that if we do get MLS, we're going to miss that. I'm going to miss that probably the most.
We are going to miss some of it, but I will say MLS is not as big as the other sports. I mean, when we went to Houston, I'm thinking, and we went down to the little tunnel right outside the players' locker room.
Well, we had a connection.
We had a connection, but there were other fans standing there by the rope, and
yep.
I mean,
I think Jim and Jeremy and Pat and the people will try and keep that as close to what we have right now as possible, and I really do hope so.
And I said it before in talking to the head of the St. Louis Business Journal that was at the MLS watch party from Portland.
Yeah.
Heavy
owner that knows what he's doing in Merritt Paulson.
Yeah, heavy MLS franchise there. I mean, heavy hitters. Merritt Paulson knows him by first name, texts him. You know, obviously being the head of the Business Journal, you get a little bit different. But he said it's not uncommon that, you know, Merritt Paulson talks to supporters regularly.
Yeah.
That he know that.
Stan Kroenke doesn't.
I was going to say, Merritt Paulson talks to supporters so much he quits Twitter at least once a month. But again, this is who we know Jim Cavanaugh and Tom Strunk to be.
Mm-hmm.
And we know they're selling that side of it to Carolyn, you know. So to the point when we are at the MLS Cup watch party down at the Post, Carolyn is walking around talking to all the fans, you know. People aren't coming up to her. She's going up to people. And I think she gets it. I think she's a part of that sort of quote-unquote culture that, you know, Jim loves to talk about with regards to worldwide technology, and it's why it's always one of the top five companies to work for in the United States. I mean, this is the kind of guy he is, and this is the kind of environment he wants to create. So, I don't know. There's all that.
It's 5 years away.
It's a few years away.
At most. All
right. Let's talk about, just for fun, I put this out on Twitter. I said, if you could pick anyone, and this is in lieu of or in reference to Matt Bird's famous call that St. Louis Bread Company should be the home shirt sponsor, and Panera should be the away shirt sponsor. I just asked people to say who they think should be on the front of the jersey. So, Mitch, before we get into user opinions, who would you pick if you could pick anybody?
You know, honestly, it was funny. This last week when I was in Baltimore for training, with talking to some other, I found out there are like one or two other soccer fans in my new job, which is nice. It's not all NFL people.
Yeah.
And told them Bird's joke about Panera, St. Louis Bread Company. They thought that was the greatest thing they had ever heard. They're like, that is amazing. That is one of the best things we've ever heard. Personally, I think the one that I would like is there. I have two on my list. The first is Energizer.
Yeah.
It's local and it's a good logo. Like that would look good on the front of the kit.
Yeah.
I do think that's important, and I know that sounds stupid.
To me, it's important that it's not, as Bird referenced earlier, a pyramid scheme.
Right.
I don't want to be embarrassed like every time somebody sees me wearing the shirt.
I think back to the old Newcastle shirts with the Newcastle brown air. Right. That was iconic.
Right.
You know.
And it fit the community. I mean, we need something that fits St. Louis.
Right. Build-A-Bear would not work for that reason. Having a giant teddy bear in the middle of your shirt, you're a joke.
Sell a lot of kids' shirts, but.
Yeah. You know, something like Express Scripts, it's not a good. They've got the money, they've got the brand, it's not right. Yeah,
seems dirty to me.
It just does too.
I don't like insurance companies in general.
What I originally thought, my original second pick was going to be Edward Jones, but I think as a nice little nod, finger poke of doom, I'd like to see the new stadium called the Edward Jones.
That'd be pretty fun.
After the, so that got bumped out. So my second one is going to be pretty simple and pretty easy. None of the above.
I do love.
Wait a minute! Clean. Wait a minute! Wait a minute!
No shirts.
I love a good no shirts.
I do too.
First of all, never going to happen in today's.
I know.
World. No, I know.
But you know what I did think of this week was, remember when Barcelona, because they were the last ones
to not
have a sponsor, and then the first couple years they did UNICEF, they did a charity.
Yep.
So they were paying to have a shirt sponsor.
I would love to see
how
something
cool
like
would
that.
It be if it just said St. Louis Food Bank on the front of the
or something
jersey
like that.
Or you know,
yeah,
Children's
like that.
Hospital,
Children's Hospital, whatever. Yeah.
So that's again.
That would be cool.
You went right down my line. I'd love to have a blank one, but since we can't, I wanted to go the way of Barcelona. Children's Hospital was, that's cool. Or just go incredibly simple. Have a cancer awareness ribbon.
Yeah.
Just something simple. No text, just an icon.
Okay, that's not going to happen. So.
then it's Energizer. Energizer's all I got. Because I don't, Tums would look stupid. You know, Edward Jones.
A couple people mentioned Bear. I mean, Bear has a history of supporting soccer teams. I mean, wouldn't be out of place to see the Bear, you know, the circle on the middle.
All I want, I either want an iconic, like I love Minnesota with the target.
Yeah.
I love that.
I'm just kind of throwing these out there. I'm not attributing them, but the square logo is.
That would be fantastic.
Very
just
simple
that
to
logo.
The target.
Although Jack Dorsey's a little bit of insanity.
But I could see him. He is a St. Louis boy. He does. Yep. And square is headquartered here.
Yep. I would really like the Crown Candy logo.
That'd be cool. I mean, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I would love, I mean, people's thrown out Mission Taco. Yeah, it'd be great, but I don't think Mission Taco's got the jack for that.
No.
Schlafly, again, I'm a big fan.
They don't have the jack for that.
But even if they don't, you can't have a beer.
I don't think they're going to allow a beer logo. I mean, we'll have to look into that,
but
probably not.
Because that's why England doesn't anymore, because they have to sell kids' ones without it on there.
Let's see.
I still think Southwest isn't the best show.
See, that's the thing. I still think there's a good chance of somebody out of state.
Claude mentions Dave Peacock's working for Schnucks now. You can maybe see the Schnucks logo on the jersey. I mean, that's a St. Louis thing.
Yeah, they're kind of notoriously cheap. So,
let's see.
Aldi.
Oh, Aldi would be great.
Aldi would be amazing.
Aldi would be great.
Sarah would like to see Sugar Fire.
Yeah.
And she said, if not, maybe Sephora. I think she wants the discount. A couple of people have mentioned BJC or Mercy. Hospitals aren't bad. I love Tim. Tim said World Events Productions. It's a video house that is famous for Voltron.
Oh,
they're their logo is Voltron.
That would be fantastic.
That'd be a pretty fresh logo on a jersey.
Does any MLS team have a hospital stroke?
I don't think so.
United Healthcare was.
That was Revolution.
I think. Yeah. But that's.
But there's a lot of hospitals slash. Humana in USL.
I do like LAFC having YouTube TV. That looks pretty good.
That's a pretty fresh one.
Yeah, there's a couple health ones. Orlando Health.
Somebody just threw out a list here. Boeing, Emerson, Spire.
You can't just walk down the street and, we're out of Boeing, love. Purina. I'm going to go down to the store. Purina's not a bad shout.
Purina would be great. Just get the checker.
Because they had the checker dome back for the Blues. That would be nice shout.
I think that might be that might be a good one. But see, I'm looking here and I can't see who this is, but somebody has Acura. That's a good looking logo on the front, you know, something like that. That looks nice,
but it doesn't scream St. Louis, which is okay. But
and that's the thing, you know,
it doesn't have to, you know,
it doesn't have to. No,
we're above that. We're getting above that now. We're you know, Colorado Rapids is sponsored by Transamerica, which I headquartered in San Francisco.
Right.
We're above that. It's a national brand at this point.
Definitely. Somebody said maybe we can talk to Stan and get a Walmart put on the front of the shirt. I think I would cry.
I still love Seattle having Xbox.
They've gone away from that now.
Have they?
Yeah, it's Zulily now.
That sucks.
Xbox was a great sponsor. I mean, I always liked EA Sports would be like a huge sponsor.
Oh, that would be awesome to have.
But I don't know now that the whole league has the MLS or the esports thing. A couple of people mentioned Budweiser. Obviously, the joke is, you know,
can we get
they're in Belgium now.
Eagle Brand Foods.
You know, I mean, they could have some fun. I don't want something embarrassing.
No.
That's, you know, I don't want a pyramid scheme. I don't want, you know, athlete's foot spray. I don't want anything embarrassing.
Yeah. You don't want hemorrhoid cream.
Right.
Yeah.
Although you could wear that with pride, I think. You know.
What, again?
I don't know. It's fun to talk about. Again, we're years out. I mean, me tweeting, hey, Purina, you should sponsor the team, isn't going to get the deal done.
No, but
it's fun. It's fun to tag those companies.
But that's the kind of thing they're looking for. They're not looking for sugar fires and you know, schnooks anymore. I think that they're looking for McDonald's.
Yeah, well, Burger King. Monsanto, I guess Bayer bought Monsanto, so I guess that would be the same thing. But yeah, I mean, and I don't think it hurts for fans to let companies know, hey, you want my business, I'm an MLS fan. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, just something fun to talk about.
I'd love to see something like Spotify.
Yeah.
You know, something a little bit, you know.
Well, a cool brand. I mean, we've talked about it before. It's, you know, something that I would do anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, just got a couple of dates to hit with you all, and then I think I'm done. The Springfield game is this Saturday. It is at 2 p.m. It's in Springfield at the Missouri State Soccer Field. And if you get there, if you're driving down, we are going to have pregame at Bears Sports Bar and Grill. It's like a block and a half away.
That's B-A-I-R.
B-A-I-R-S. They've got a parking lot there, so you can park, have a few beers with us before the game, some lunch, and then we'll head on over to the game.
Cannot wait.
It is $5 cash to get in. Bring cash. I don't know that they'll have card readers. And that $5 will be going to charity. Bring a few extra singles, too, because I think they're going to be doing some charity collection inside, too. So just,
or Brad's going to strip one of the two.
Whatever.
Got to pay for that bumper somehow.
That's right. The 23rd and 24th of February, there are back-to-back preseason games. It's $10 for both games. So get those tickets.
And that money goes to charity.
We play Memphis, right?
We play Memphis and we play Tulsa. Yes.
I think the order is reversed, but yes.
Wes Sharpie plays for Memphis now. So
there you go.
Oh, nice.
Just saying.
Another good dude.
Yeah, really nice kid.
And it will be our first preseason game at home this year. So
that's so awesome.
Break in Soccer Park.
Rumor has it a special vehicle will be ready by then.
Ooh.
It, the... I will say the work that the trailer crew has done on it.
Crazy.
If you thought it was badass before, prepare to have your mind blown.
They should have been on an episode of Pimp My Trailer because it got done up.
Don Magic Juan would be so impressed.
March 2nd, we have a preseason game against Forward Madison, the new USL 1 team. That is for season ticket holders only. So if you don't have season tickets, you can't go to that game. What's more important about that game is like directly after it, there's going to be a meet the fans up in the grill, and they're going to unveil the new jerseys for 2019.
Cannot wait. And they will be for
the 2nd, March the 2nd.
And they will be for sale, too.
They will be for sale. And I have seen a little tiny clip of what it looks like, and I think I'm pretty excited. I haven't seen the whole jersey. I've just seen like a mark, like a snippet of the jersey.
A sampling, if you will.
A sampling. A zoom in. And I'm excited about it, so come out. Buy that jersey.
You know I'm going to buy it anyway.
That's right. Other things we've got going on. The annual general meeting, the AGM. Our plans got dashed, is what happened.
Our original plans, yes.
Our original plans, our original venue, we thought was a done deal, and then it was not so much of a done deal. So we have scrambled. We have found purchase on a rocky shore, and we will be having an AGM, and we hope to announce that this week once every detail is finalized.
The intention is that it will be that Sunday after that game, the 3rd.
Right.
Which is kind of a tradition that we try to have it the week before the season kicks off when possible.
Yeah.
As close to the first home game.
It's a little closer than we thought this year. But the
good thing is that it's the best reasons that we couldn't do when we wanted. Because there was preseason home games.
Right.
And we want the players to be there as they have been in the past. I know it's important for them to, you know, to be there. I know talking to the guys last year, they said it was so amazing to be a part of it. So
pencil in the 3rd of March for the AGM, and we will let you know as soon as we know for sure where that's going to be and any details.
Coming soon.
Coming soon. We're also going to talk about doing another live podcast. Second Shift, our friends at Second Shift have reached out, and they said, hey, we brewed all this Brewligans. Would you guys like to come and drink it?
Which they did last year as well.
Yeah.
And it was a great way to kind of kick things off a little bit.
So it'll be a weeknight. It will be a Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, to be specific, because those are their nights when they can host. And it will either be a week or two before the season opener. So just plan on, you know, one of those days, and we'll probably do a live podcast. We'll probably try to get a couple players on, maybe some of the new guys, and you can come out and hang out and
drink some beers.
Drink some beer and just get ready for the season. Speaking of beer, before we went on air tonight, our friend Schlafly tweeted out a teaser pick, their new Ale d'Or. It's coming out soon.
Which, it's the same one that they had last year that they announced that they gave us the right. Growlers.
Right.
Before then, it was just called STLFC Ale because they hadn't had all the branding cleared.
Yep.
And the labeling has been approved and is being printed.
And lo and behold, our logo made it onto the side of that beer.
That's a nice little surprise, wasn't it?
It was pretty cool, yeah.
Brad and I met with them a couple weeks ago to kind of talk about their involvement with us in the upcoming season. They're going to be very heavily involved with our efforts, and they gave us the sneak peek of the label. And
it's a very good-looking can.
Did you get royalties?
Little tear came to the eye, I'm not going to lie.
They did give me and Mitch about 3 or 4 beers that day. So I think
there you go.
We've burned it all up.
there's us getting free stuff again.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
But yeah.
Very cool.
The greatest thing about this, and everybody kind of laughs at first until you think about it, you go to a Quick Trip, you go to a Schnucks, you go to anywhere that you normally can pick up your Schlafly
Quick
on the
Trip go. Should be on the front of the shirts.
That'd be pretty cool.
That'd be good.
That would be good.
That'd be good. It's better than come and go on your lower back.
That's true.
But yeah. You know, again, you know, like I go to Quick Trip frequently. It's right up the street. It's nice to pop in there, grab something. They have a pretty good, I don't want to say craft beer because I still think of Schlafly as craft beer, even though they're one of the larger craft beer companies now.
Yeah.
But there's a good selection in there. And to know that you could reach in there and pull out a pack of ale to ore with the Luligan, yeah. that people are going to go in there.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Brueligans is the shit. But you pretty much have to go to a Friar Tuck's or a Randall's or to Second Shift to get it.
Some Schnucks, some Deerberg's kind of places. You know, that have, you know, have a good, really good beer selection.
Right.
But this is something, I mean, anywhere that you could buy Schlafly, anything more than just the pale ale,
yeah.
there's a good chance of this being available.
Well, that, and it just gets the word about the team out there more, so.
I'm so excited. Happy about it. I cannot wait.
Other than that.
And it's delicious, too.
It is pretty good. Other than that, opening day is March 9th. It's the season opener. It's the home opener. I think Jim Cavanaugh and Tom Strunk have made it pretty clear the goal is to pack the park for that thing. So if you're a fan of you know, soccer in St. Louis, you need to be there on opening day.
And it's getting closer to being sold out.
Yeah, I mean, get on it quick because...
Be a nice start to the season.
The corner is definitely going to be sold out. If you want tickets in Section 8 or 9, you better be ordering those tomorrow. And then also, we're gonna have our scarves that day.
That's right.
So if you pre-ordered a scarf, plan on getting to the tailgate party early. They're going to open the gates just a little bit earlier for us than normal for opening day. And you'll be able to pick up your scarf. So
cannot wait. It's almost here, boys.
Lots of good things happening. We'll be back with you as soon as we can, depending on Mitch's travel schedule. but like I said, be looking for a live podcast in the next... gosh, it's just a couple weeks.
3 weeks.
Yeah, and we'll be...
I mean, literally, it's the 6th today, so, maybe the 7th if you're listening it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a month away.
Yep.
The first home game is a month and a couple days away.
And we've got preseason games in between, so...
And lots of them at home.
I can't wait.
We don't have to, you know, watch everything from afar and hope that there's some tweeted information. You can actually go see this.
That's right. And... hey, if you're not doing anything, drive down to Springfield, and we'll see you on Saturday.
It's going
to
be a good time. I cannot wait. I love road
Matt.
Trips.
Sorry, Matt. Yeah. Sorry you can't come with us.
Is what it is?
We're going to pick up Ewan.
Yes. Can you pick two babies?
Only one. We want the good one. Don't tell us which one
it is. Yeah, you always only take picture of one at a time. I notice you're separating them. You're dividing and conquering.
You know, there's sympathy crying now. One starts crying, the other one does. Yeah. It's sympathy crying.
I got no time for that shit.
It's garbage.
All right, guys. Anything else? Thanks for listening. It's almost go time.
Landon Donovan.
No.
Serious? Whatever.
Hey, he's trying to keep San Diego's name in that you MLS
know,
mix.
You know what? He retired too early and he misses it.
Yeah, he really did.
Absolutely.
Yeah. He retired too early and he just missed it. Maybe not the grind on the pitch or anything, but the away trips, the bonding, the lads, the camaraderie. He misses it.
Yeah, and I wonder. Fuck it. I don't even want to discuss it.
No, I don't. I just.
Yeah, he did retire too early.
2 years I'm just, too early.
I'm just like he left Europe too early.
I'm just disappointed that the Ambush won't play him, so we won't have Bird doing a play by play and Landy calling cake. Him Landy
calling
cakes.
Calling Landy cakes. Yeah.
Golden balls.
Because I know you would have called him Landy cakes
but
at
you
least
know,
once.
I just think he retired too early. Yeah. He misses it.
And again. He's a quality player. He was a loyal servant for the United States national team, and I don't wish him ill, but
no, he just misses. I just think he wants to play.
I don't know what I find worse, him going down to play in Mexico, or him playing indoor soccer.
Indoor.
Is that more
well? Because at least Mexico.
Well,
Mexico is
not a step down, right?
Right. It's still a legit league.
Yeah. But I think this is really all for
show.
For show, for MLS. Yep. I really do think that's why he's doing it.
Maybe I hope he doesn't go into that locker room with a massive ego.
Yeah. Well, and I hope somebody doesn't just destroy his knee out there on those rough turfs.
There is that. I mean, I tend to call it, I don't want to call it a hackers league.
It's a physical league.
But it's a physical league. It's hardly. I mean, you're getting your ankle
well, and,
kicked. You're
and,
getting your
and
toe
emotions
stepped on.
Flare, and you're out there. You know what I mean? I could see some guy deciding to take a whack at Landon.
It's thrown into a boat or something.
The one thing I did learn, it's a good thing that the Ambush don't play him just because Petcher was going to sign a one-day contract.
Yeah, Petcher wants to get out there and settle his hash.
You know, you know what, though? You know, the Ambush 7-8.
Yeah, they're doing good this year.
They're progressively getting better.
Yeah.
And, but what I actually kind of like about it is that I was telling Mitch beforehand that they sign a lot of Brazilian guys, a lot of futsal guys and stuff, but it's actually the two Americans, Zach Reggett from Wisconsin and Justin Stinson from here, that are really putting up the numbers. It's the local kids that are, that are doing the business. So, yeah, they're doing all right.
All right. That's all I got, Mitch.
We good. Preseason, bitches.
We'll see y'all.